dad was killed. He was shot by his own brother because he was trying to hurt people. I guess they'd been drinking.
Stai Gute, welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. On today's program, we'll hear from someone who was raised by her grandparents because her own home was broken. But what she gained by being with them would far surpass anything else she had lost.
Hello, my name is Connie Hayes. I was born on the Colville Indian Reservation in Esphelim, Washington. It's in the center part of Washington State. The tribe is the Colville Indians, the Confederated Tribes of the Colvilles. I've never lived there, but I've lived in Oklahoma all my life. I came here from Washington when I was 6 weeks old. I was raised by my grandparents. They're Creek and Cherokee, so I'm Colville, Creek and Cherokee. Creek and Cherokee from my mother's side, Colville from my father's side. When we left the reservation in Nespelem, Washington, my mom and dad separated, and they were never together again. They got a divorce, and when I was 3 years old, dad was killed. He was shot by his own brother because he was trying to hurt people. I guess they'd been drinking. So I never knew him at all. And then my mother, the way I got to live with my grandparents was she was a nurse. And she had a lot of different hours. And I just had always lived with my grandparents because of my mother's schedule. Now, living without my parents and being raised by my grandparents, I guess I always wondered why my mother wasn't there. Then she told me that it was because of her work schedule, and yet she had my brother and sister from another marriage, too, and kept them. And there is a feeling of rejection that comes. That's hard to understand. But, you know, when you grow up under the love of God and with grandparents that shower you with love, and I probably had a chance to be a little spoiled. I was their first grandchild. There was a bunch of boys at home, my uncles. I was the youngest child and the only girl. So I really had a chance to be a brat. I can remember when I was growing up, I actually don't remember a time when I didn't love the Word of God and was drawn to it. Where we lived and where we went to church, it was about 45 minutes apart. And back then, the seats of the cars were one full bench seat, and I would lay my head in my grandma's lap and put my feet in my grandpa's lap. And I would ask my grandma to tell me a Bible story. So while she stroked my hair, she'd tell me about David and Goliath, or Daniel in the lion's den, or Jesus blessing the children. And so that 45 minutes was good, and it was a good ride. My head in my grandma's lap while she strokes my hair, and then my feet in my grandpa's lap, and he would massage my dirty little feet, because at a country Indian church, little Indian kids didn't wear shoes. And the only thing that could make that trip home any better was if my grandpa stopped and got us a strawberry soda. And so my grandparents are gone, but I miss them so much. They were such a good example of what God wants his people to be. I viewed my grandfather as my father, actually. He was the father that I knew, but I saw God in him, and he was so complete. He was only educated to the second grade, but he was one of the smartest men I ever knew. So wise. And he just meant so much to me. They both did. I was 11 years old when I knew that I needed the Lord Jesus to be a part of my life. At 11 years old, I asked him to come and live in my heart at a vacation Bible school in Henrietta, Oklahoma, out on the Tiger Mountain. The church was named Silver Spring, a little Indian church out there. About a year before I gave my life to the Lord, I just felt a deep heaviness in my heart. I attend a Baptist church where they give an invitation every week. I just knew that whenever they gave the invitation, and this was just for, I think a year, it was just a heaviness in my heart. And I knew that the Lord was talking to me and bidding me to come and be his child. It was just a heaviness and a sadness and a darkness that I felt, and at the same time a drawing to him. And when I finally did it, I felt light as a feather. I've heard a lot of people say they felt like the weight was off their shoulders, and that heaviness was gone when I finally did that. It was something that happens deep inside with that recreated spirit. And it is that sin that we're born with. That heaviness and darkness is what separates us from God. It's the thing that keeps us from being His. It's how we're born. We're all born with that heaviness and darkness on the inside of us. And it was just so stirred at the time that I felt that. It's always there before you're saved. But when the Holy Spirit starts talking to you, it stirs and it feels so dark and so heavy. Sometimes people don't understand that there's an eternity and that they will live that eternity in one place or another. They'll live it in heaven with God and the Lord Jesus and loved ones that have given their life to God, or they'll live it in a hell that was created not for them, but for the devil and his angels. And sometimes that's a hard reality for people to understand, but people need to be born again. God's plan of salvation, God's saving grace offered to us, is simple. We try to make it hard and difficult sometimes, but simply put, it is asking Jesus to be your Savior, asking the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, because there is a judgment to face. There is a hell. Like I said, I don't think people comprehend that there is judgment and punishment and eternal death. We will live eternally in heaven, those of us that are born again, saved, have accepted the salvation and God's saving grace. But those who are not will live eternally in darkness and in fire. And that's hard to imagine, that there's fire and there's darkness, but it's an eternal darkness. There's no end. There's no end to that. During my teenage years, I really wasn't a bad kid. I didn't drink, but I didn't attend church. I didn't live for the Lord. When I got married, I had two children, and we went to church for a few years and then dropped out, and I didn't live for the Lord. I didn't do drugs, and I didn't drink. I didn't party a lot. Maybe somebody would have a birthday party and I'd go to it. But as far as being the partier, I just never was. But without making Jesus Christ first in my life, giving him the place that he should be, it was a miserable time on the inside, not living for him. I think that Christians that are not living for the Lord can be even more miserable than the unsaved person, because they're being pulled in two different directions. And thank God the Lord never left me alone. When I got up to go to work each day, I felt such an emptiness and a hunger. And I started rededicating my life to the Lord simply by getting back into His Word. And the scripture that helped me so much was Psalms 143:8. And it says, "Cause me to know thy loving kindness in the morning, for it is in thee that I trust. Cause me to declare my trust in you." I began my day with that scripture every day for about 2 years. While I was getting ready for work and while I was driving to work, I would recite this scripture. And I just kind of had church for myself. And I can say that starting my day with God's Word truly made a difference in my life. I began to grow in Him. I dreaded every single day of my life before I made His Word a part of my life each morning. I knew how to read the Word, but making it a part of me and asking God's Holy Spirit to be my teacher made a difference for me. I have a relationship with the Creator of the universe, a Creator of this world, and a Creator of all of us. He created us for Himself. And the way that anybody can get to that relationship is through Jesus Christ. My relationship with Him is the most important, precious thing to me.
Connie's relationship with her grandparents was special. But as you've just heard, her relationship with God is most important. And that's how it should be. When you consider who God is, that He is holy and just, it's a wonder that He would want anything to do with us. But thankfully, He does. You see, God is also loving and gracious. And because He is, He made it possible for us to be forgiven and have peace with Him. He did this by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and pay the penalty for our wrongdoing. Then God raised Him from the dead because God's justice was satisfied. So how can we have relationship with God? Jesus tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Want to know more? Visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab, New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. That's 877-766-4648. We're also on Facebook at Without Reservation. Missed a program or want to listen again? You can download our app and take the Storyteller with you. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there are more amazing stories to tell, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.